1 Nephi chapter 7. In the beginning of this chapter, the sons of Lehi are sent back to Jerusalem again to the home of Ishmael in order to bring his family out so that they might have wives and families. When they get to Ishmael's home, it says that the Lord had to soften the heart of Ishmael. Ishmael was a good man and he was following the church, but his heart was set on the world or following man. Left on his own, he would have stayed with the world or Jerusalem as he did not seek the Spirit like Lehi did. The Lord had to soften his heart. We then need to analyze what it means to soften the heart. The Spirit speaks to us through our emotions. So the softening of the heart simply means that the Lord opened the heart of Ishmael to receive the Spirit. Ishmael could then feel that the request of Lehi was correct. Ishmael still had his choice, just as Laman and Lemuel had their choice to follow the angel that they saw. The point here is that Ishmael was a good man, and he would follow the Lord given greater light. We will see that he was tested and stayed true to that greater light. In verse 6, they had all gotten back to the camp of Lehi. Laman and Lemuel and part of the family of Ishmael rebel. Notice who they take their anger out on. It is Ishmael. Ishmael had already made the choice to follow the Spirit, but this did not develop his character to have the strength to follow the Lord in all circumstances. Therefore, the Lord provided this opposition to Ishmael to strengthen him in following the Lord. It is a joyous thing to see that Ishmael has been converted to following the Lord and the Spirit, and that he stands with the Spirit in the face of this opposition. In verse 7, the reason for the rebellion is given, and that was that Jerusalem was a great place and they should not have to leave it. They desired to return. Having returned to Jerusalem, everything had looked great there. There was good men like Ishmael. The city was powerful. The church was strong. The people prospered. What could be wrong? What was wrong was that the people did not seek God's will and counsel, just like Ishmael, and just like today. We are not in this life to see how good of a world man can make, but to do the will of God. The point here was that to the eye of man, everything was fine in Jerusalem, but not through the eye of the Spirit. This means that they were good according to the standards set by men, or according to the precepts of man. Man always sets his standard according to those around them, in this case, Babylon. As long as their standard was above Babylon, they claimed to be good or worthy. As Babylon became worse, then so did Jerusalem. The bottom line is that the standard of man always lowers. The standard of God stays the same. And the people of Jerusalem and today sin against this higher standard. Rephrasing the point, man is judged according to the standard given by God, not according to the standard of man that surrounds them. The Mormons today think that they are righteous because they have higher standards than those around them. We are in this life to seek God and His standard. When prophets come into the land, the people do not want to hear the standard of God. They want to hear that they are a good people. They want to hear flattering words. The people then reject the prophets. This will be the repetitive story in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon will not re-explain all the weaknesses of each people. What is good is repeated, and the men writers of the Book of Mormon thought that it should be obvious that anything else was evil. When his brothers want to return, then Nephi begins to rebuke them. He says, "My goodness, you have seen an angel, and you have been delivered from Laban." This tells us two important things. First, they saw an angel. Thus, when we see an angel or any great manifestation, that does not convert us. We must reflect for a second on what it is that we are trying to do in this life. We are trying to develop the character that we want the things that the Lord wants. We want Him. We want to do what He wants. We want to seek His will. Laman and Lemuel did not want to seek the will of the Lord, and just because they saw an angel did not change their desire to seek the Lord. Nephi is asking them why they did not begin to have a motivation to change themselves after they saw this angel. Or you saw an angel and now you have had the time to change yourself, but you have done nothing. Nephi then says other things to them. He says that they saw that they had been delivered from Laban. He probably went on to say things like, this should prove to you that the Lord does fulfill His commandments to you, and that He is behind you and with you. He will protect you. So he says, why don't you follow the Lord as He is the one who has proven that He will take care of you? He then says that they will see later on that Jerusalem will be destroyed and that the Lord is not going to take care of them if they return. So again, they should get behind the Lord. What is interesting also is that we surmised previously that there was some miraculous things in their deliverance from Laban. We now see that this must be the case, as Nephi is equating this with the deliverance from Laban, that is, with seeing an angel. In verse 12, Nephi says that the Lord is able to do all things according to His will. We must ask why Nephi is making such a statement here. We casually want to simply say that, of course, the Lord can do all things according to His will, and pass by this without much thought. The reason that Nephi is saying this is because when we truly try to seek out the Lord's will, we are going to say that what the Lord tells us to do is unreasonable, just like when He told Nephi to go back to Laban's house. He is telling us that if we seek the Lord's will and follow the Spirit, what you are told to do will not seem reasonable. But here He is reminding them that the Lord will ensure that you will accomplish all things that He wills. This again gives us the sign that doing the Lord's will seem unreasonable to us. That is, unreasonable to man is a sign that it is the Lord's will, as it will require faith and trust in the Lord to accomplish it. When you do His command and you follow His will, things just seem to keep working out. They also continue to seem unreasonable too, but they continue to work out. As Nephi goes on in verse 12, he says that they need to exercise faith. They need to have faith in the Lord. Faith in what? Faith that the Lord does have the power to accomplish His will. You must believe that He has power greater than anything on this earth. Therefore, He can accomplish His will, which is uncomprehendable and unreasonable to man. This verse then says what the Lord's will is. His will is for the children of men, which means that the whole reason that He is doing this is for you. And if you follow His will, you will see that you are the one who benefits. Either He is protecting you from Laban, as He is your protector, or He is taking you out into the wilderness, and while you are in the wilderness, He is going to provide for you, and while you are following Him in all this, He is progressing you or giving you the experience which will result in changing or strengthening your character if you persevere. Everything that the Lord does is for man, and that man is you, not someone else or some other group. He wants to prepare you to come back and live with Him or your Heavenly Father for all eternity. You must believe that this is His purpose. Then you must have the determination to do His will and have the faith that He can stand against anything on this earth to accomplish His will. Note, He must prepare the way for you or He becomes a liar and ceases to be God. In verse 13, Nephi speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem. He gives some idea of why Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. He says that the Spirit ceases to strive with them. This means that the Spirit has not yet ceased to strive with them. Even though they have tried to kill Lehi and cast the other prophets out, yet The Spirit is still trying to talk to them. The Lord gives us all the chances He can. The reason that He sent the prophets was to get them to turn to the Lord, or His Spirit, which was waiting for them to listen. The prophets were not trying to get the people to follow them. The people wanted to listen to men, and their eyes were on the world. For their progression, they would rather go to the church and let church leaders tell them what to do. They did not want to go directly to the Lord and find out what He wanted them to do. When they think about being provided for, they think of going to the world in worldly business, as it is obvious that that is how they are going to be provided for. Then the world tells them that to get ahead they must have a career, that they can only have two children in order to have time for that career, and so on. The world then shapes their whole life. They know that the Lord will tell them to do something different that is not as easy for them to accept, and they do not believe that it will be as rewarding and that people might point a finger at them. Thus, they do not want to go to the Lord. This prompts their fears that it is too much to require to do it the Lord's way. Their security is then in their insurances and in their retirements, which is based on paper money that only has value if their posterity is willing to accept it and be partial slaves to them. Their security is not in the Lord. They then think that being protected means to have big armies, rather than believe that the Lord can protect them from anything in this world. When they want to progress to live in heaven, they go to church and let men tell them what to do. When they are sick, they go to doctors, even though the Lord has told them that through faith in Him they can be healed of anything. They just do not want to go to the Lord. They do not choose the Lord, which was the purpose of life. Thus, as they exclude the Lord from their lives, they are ripening for destruction. This is the same story in all ages, and we can see that today we are much in the same state, which is obvious as the Book of Mormon is written for us. But we would say that we have not rejected the prophets. Review the General Conference talks of President Benson. No one has listened to what he has said. Not a single general authority has gotten behind any of his talks. At best, they give minor lip service to a small section of one here or there. They do not get into the meat of these talks, and they do not lend their support to the accomplishment of his words. Thus the Lord has closed President Benson's mouth because the people have rejected him. Again, the Book of Mormon is written to us to prepare us for the second coming. Christ has not returned. Thus, as time moves on, the Book of Mormon must be more and more pertinent. We are studying the first story in the Book of Mormon, so the things presented in it must be extremely pertinent to us. The reason that we do not think that it applies is because we are blind to the continual parallels of the history of man. If we do not become like Lehi and Nephi, then we will be destroyed. We know that we are not like them, but claim that we are good and that they set a standard that we are only to hope for but never attain. Our lesser standard is the standard of Jerusalem, and is a standard that rejects the Lord from our daily lives. We can expect destruction to be coming our way. I can guarantee you that as I read this, and as I feel the spirit of it, I can feel as Nephi did. And I can prophesy to you that exactly the same things that happened to Jerusalem is going to happen to the people who claim to be followers of the Lord. But do not listen to the Spirit as Lehi and Nephi did. In doing this, I am only repeating the words of Ezra Taft Benson that he gave at General Conference in October 1988. Now back to the Book of Mormon account. In verse 15, Nephi warns them that if they return, they will be destroyed. What do? They get angry with Nephi. They decide that they will tie him up and leave him for the beast to devour. Notice that instead of just returning, they want the others to return with them. They know that their rebellion is against the Lord, and they want someone else or everyone else to be in rebellion also, as this gives them support. They know that Nephi is right, and they want to shut him up as he sparks their conscience or the spirit of truth that is not yet dead in them. Again, their concern or desire is not to return to Jerusalem, or they would just go. Nephi then prays for the strength to burst the cords and is given the strength. Notice what he says in the prayer. He says, O Lord, according to my faith which is in thee. He does not say, I have the faith, and with this faith I break the cords. He is humble here and expresses that he does not have the strength, but he believes that the Lord has the strength or can give him the strength. We learn that our faith should be that the Lord has the power, not ourselves. It is not our priesthood power or our faith that actually breaks cords, but our representing Christ's power or our faith in Christ's power that breaks cords. When the Lord commands us to do something, we have faith that he has the power to accomplish that work through us. When Jared moved a mountain, he had the faith that the Lord had the power to move a mountain, not himself. Faith is in the Lord's power, or that he can accomplish his will. Our eyes should be single to the Lord's. We should focus on the Lord. We have faith that he can do the things he says, and that he can give us power, or he can do it in any way that he pleases. In this case, Nephi felt the Spirit confirmed that it was a righteous desire to break the cords. This means that it was within the Lord's will or on the path that had been prepared by the Lord. Thus, he was given the strength and accomplished it. We know this is true because later Nephi is required to stay bound for several days. After Nephi breaks the cords, he repeats words like he did above to them, and Laman and Lemuel are angry again. But some are not angry and plead with Laman and Lemuel. They support Nephi. This gives us some idea of what was going on in Jerusalem, as this is a type. We have a responsibility to stand up for the people who speak for the Lord. When the Lord sends his servants or messengers, then we must support them. Obviously, we must confirm their words with the Spirit to ensure that they are from the Lord. The people in Jerusalem were saying that the church is going along fine. The church is not telling us this. The church is not supporting Lehi. And who is Lehi to come out and tell us these things? Lehi is not one of the elders in our church. Neither is Jeremiah or any of the other prophets that have come into our city. The leaders of the church are not listening to these men. So neither do we. The point here is that the Lord did not deliver Nephi immediately. He gives these people an opportunity to stand up for Nephi, which means that the people in Jerusalem had a responsibility to stand up for the prophets who came into their city. Later we will see that this is the very reason that some of the people were not killed at Christ's coming to America. The people of Jerusalem were supposed to stand up and say that the things that Lehi said were correct and from God, and that they had asked the Spirit and gotten a confirmation. The point is that we have a responsibility to check with the Spirit and then support the messengers of the Lord. In verse 20, they all repent and bow down to Nephi. What does Nephi do? Nephi immediately forgives them and then turns them to the Lord. Notice that Nephi's love is for his brothers. And so what does he want his brothers to do? He doesn't say that now you have bowed down to me, I will have you rise, but I will now tell you what to do to be righteous. He does not show pride that he can direct Laman and Lemuel to do what is right or to show them how to progress. No, he knows that man learns by going to the Lord. Only the Lord knows each of us. Only the Lord can direct each one of us. So Nephi directs them to the Lord. His love for them is not love for himself to be in charge, but his real love for them that they might be progressed. He knows that the best way for them to grow is to send them to the Lord. We see what kind of a ruler Nephi is here. We need to see this from our church leaders or any man that comes to us. We know that he is a man of God when he continues to direct us or focus us on the Lord. He should tell us to go to the Lord, that the Lord is the one who can give you forgiveness. We should do as Nephi. always give forgiveness, but direct to go to the Lord, as He is the one that can really help you overcome this problem. The point is that all true men of God will always send other men to God and never even slightly try to set themselves up as some kind of intermediary. They are only teachers to help you get to God. At the end of this chapter, they all give thanks to God. They truly try to repent. Note, they were repentant men at this point. In a lot of sense, you could begin to feel that Laman and Lemuel had been raised properly and were good men to a point. But when trials came, they are in complete rebellion against the Lord and what they know is correct. Notice here that they gave their thanks to God. They did not give their thanks to Nephi for forgiving them or for teaching them to turn to God. They gave their thanks to God. They actually knew that Nephi being a ruler over them did not mean that he wanted to dominate them. All he wanted to be as a ruler over them was a teacher to teach them how to go directly to God. Chapter 8 is Lehi's dream. Nephi had the same dream, but gives a lot more explanation of it in chapters 11 through 14. Therefore, we'll wait until next week to have the commentary on Lehi and Nephi's dream. I will make a few comments about Lehi's dream while Eric is taking your calls a little later in the program. Let's go on to the commentary on chapter 9.